Club. We will begin shortly, guys. We're just collecting everyone here in the space. So just sit tight, get your evening, morning, afternoon coffee, whenever, wherever you're situated, and then we'll get started momentarily. All right, guys, I can see people are starting to tune in. This is great. This is going to be a great one. If I can get the Dreamcatcher, or perhaps even the Eli's network main account, to request to speak, and anyone else from the Eli's network team who needs to be able to speak. It just works better when you request to speak. Oftentimes, when I invite it, it just doesn't come through. So, safe way is to okay. So I just accepted Dreamcatcher your request, so you should be able to speak. I can see. Yep.
Hey, Cosmos Club. So I think we've got Alice Network main account. We've got myself. I think Mitchell, who's another one of our co-founders, should be here as well. So let me see if he could probably request to speak as well. And
exactly.
Haisham, do you want to just like request to speak as well so that you can become one of the speakers?
The floor is totally open for the main team, at least here in the beginning. And then we will perhaps bring up community questions later. But let's get the team up first.
Haisham, you got to like request to speak, please, so that you can become a speaker.
Yeah. And I think Mike also, is it, who needed to request to speak?
Mitchell. Yeah. I don't know. Let me see.
Mitchell. Yeah. Here. Request to speak isn't working. All right, let's just sort out the technical details. I'll invite all the people that I know should be invited, but it's not always that it works. But I invited, for example, just Eli, the Eli's network main account now. I don't know if you received, but let's hope, crossing fingers, before we dive in. I want to make sure that we invite anyone that should be able to speak tonight. I invited the Eli's network main account like 5 times now, so if it hasn't come through by now, I doubt that it will. I also made you co-host.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm betting on all horses here. Is there anyone else who joined the space that I should try to invite, Dreamcatcher?
Let me see if Mitchell is on there.
Sure.
Oh, there you go. We got a speaker here.
Okay. Is it working?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't know. It must be a problem with Twitter because I kept clicking on request to speak and finally let me in.
Yeah, yeah. It's not the first time, man. Don't don't beat yourself up. It's I don't know why it has to be so hard. Eli should fix this as soon as possible.
Right. All right. Well, sorry about that delay. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Looks like we have a pretty good turnout to start. We have Dreamcatcher on as a fellow co-founder. And we have other co-founders joining us as well. Jen and Mitchell, our fellow co-founder as well. All right, so with that, we'll get started.
Can we have Mitchell
come on as well as speaker so that we're all there?
Yes, I just invited to speak as well. I hope it's the right Mitchell. He's the only one that's in here. So I'm just inviting the first one that popped up here.
He's the handsome one. Yes.
All nice. Right. So where are you tuning in from today, guys, before we dive in and wait for Mitchell?
All right. I'm in Southern California.
Beautiful. I'm sitting here in dark Copenhagen. It's 9 p.m. my time. So getting late over here, but a good time to connect with people in the U.S. As usual.
All right. Well, thank you for staying up late with us.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Mitchell, I invited you like 5 times again. I don't know. I can make you a co-host also. That seemed to work with the main account. So, okay. I can see your speaker. I can see the mute icon at least. If you unmute yourself, Mitchell, just want to make sure that you have a hole through to the spaces here. Mitchell seems to be unwilling to unmute himself. Or perhaps unable. So, by the way, on desktop, I think it works on desktop, but it's very unreliable. So just putting that out there, because I had people in the past who kept getting kicked out, essentially, from spaces when they joined from desktop. So I don't know if that's the case for Mitchell here, but that's been a problem.
And it could be the case for me as well, since I joined with the desktop.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, that would explain.
Okay. Maybe we can get him to rejoin on mobile, but just to respect everyone's time, we'll go ahead and get started.
Let's do that. Yeah. So welcome everyone to the Cosmos Club, where we talk all things Cosmos, we tweet data about what's going on, and then we invite interesting, fascinating, hardworking builders of the Cosmos ecosystem. And today we are very happy to welcome for the first time Elias Network. Welcome, guys.
Right. Thank you so much for having us. Yeah. So the formal name is Ellis Network. My name is Hisham. I'm one of the 4 co-founders. We have Dreamcatcher, we have Mitchell, and then we'll be joined shortly with our 4th co-founder. Just to give you a little background of how we kind of came to be and who we are. So myself, I got into crypto back in about 2017. I got into Bitcoin and Ethereum. My classical training, so to speak, has been through the military. So I'm a graduate of the U.S. Air Force Academy, operations research. So I'm kind of a problem solver. That's sort of been my classical field of training. Currently still in the reserves, 21 years, serving now as a lieutenant colonel flying the C-17. And then what I really like about our team is we have a very diverse set of backgrounds. So I have my military experience and a little bit of blockchain and DeFi experience. We have one of our co-founders has extensive derivatives trading experience and very strong capital liquidity management. We have another founder who is a serial entrepreneur, has run several successful businesses, and his entrance into crypto actually comes from medical needs. So kind of an interesting story. Back in 2016, he needed medication for his a family member, and the only way he could get it was through the Ethereum network. So really, really cool way to get into the blockchain world. And it's stuck ever since. And I think most of us feel that same way when we get into Web3. We're here to stay. So, and of course, our last founder, who'll be with us shortly, has a lot of incredible product and business development experience. Actually worked at SpaceX and was part of the successful launch of the Flow blockchain. So we're really, really excited to have him on board as well. And I think that our talents, when we put them all together, gives us a complete skill set to really take our project to success. So we're pretty excited. And again, want to thank you all for being here. So with that said, we all share this passion for DeFi that I know many of you do as well. And it's been frustrating, right? It's been a little bit of a long road getting from, you know, the initial launch, let's call it DeFi 1, to where we're at today, where we're kind of in a little bit of a pain point of dealing with a bear market, dealing with liquidity issues, and dealing with, you know, just the problems with user experiences, user interfaces. And so we identified these issues over the last few years, and it's what brought us together to really figure out what is it going to take to get us to the next level? What is it going to take to get to the future of DeFi, to sustainable DeFi? And what does it look like, and how can we get more people to adopt it? And so that's how we came together. We basically came together at the end of last year and hit the ground running with it. We started Ellis formally in the first quarter of this year, and we've been building ever since. So our developers went to work starting in March and very quickly got our first version of our testnet going. And we're now on version 12 here shortly. So You can see that on our GitHub as well. That's open source code. You can always find us, all of our links through the ls.network website, which we launched a few weeks ago, which we're pretty excited about. If you have not had a chance to visit it, we'd love for you to come take a look. And we'll point to that website a few times throughout this spaces, just because it has the links that will be useful to you to get to where you need to go. So with that said, oh, sorry, I'll pass it off to you.
Beautiful. I mean, just wanted to throw in a question there, because I think it's interesting to hear people's backgrounds and having a very diversified team, as you mentioned. How did you all meet in the first place? So you met around the vision of creating sustainable DeFi, but in practice, how did you all meet, basically? How did it happen?
So the four of us, as we, you know, obviously, you know, with a lot of, as with most people, we kind of get started in Bitcoin and we move to Ethereum and eventually start maybe looking around in kind of the altcoin world, right? And so for the four of us, we all happen to share a fascination with Cosmos. And I think that, you know, again, for viewers who are on this call, probably feel the same way, that there's something special about the Cosmos ecosystem that really gives it a lot of promise in terms of being a very successful ecosystem, looking out 5-10 years, let's say. And a lot of that has to do with not just the Cosmos SDK as a really capable code base for projects to start their vision on, but also the flexibility for them to build custom modules to add all sorts of different features. And now we have, you know, things like Cosmos, so smart contract functionality, et cetera. So we all saw that promising vision of the Cosmos ecosystem. And we met in previous projects and started kind of discussing some of the projects that we liked and some of the projects that maybe could have been better if they had maybe taken certain directions. And so what we really, really kind of share as a common bond there is that we could discuss these ideas and really examine the pros and cons of what's going on there with the Cosmos ecosystem. I can tell you my favorite thing about Cosmos is IBC, right? That standard language that allows basically any blockchain to communicate with another blockchain and sending assets seamlessly back and forth. That's a game changer, right? That's a scaling solution. It's fast, it relieves congestion, and it allows each individual blockchain to have control over their infrastructure without having to deal with the issues or governance of another blockchain, right? So I really think that getting that word out and communicating that to somebody who maybe has not participated in Web3, I think once they come to Cosmos, they stay. And so that was kind of how we met. And so we're basically taking those best practices and the lessons learned over those past couple of years, and we're implementing them in Ellis. And we're pretty excited about that.
Awesome. And now we got Mitchell with us, by the way. So shout out to you, Mitchell. I think you are able to unmute yourself. Just want to do a check here.
Yeah, it was a challenge, but not the most challenging thing. It was what you said exactly. It was the desktop problem, and then it kept kicking me out of mobile, but I finally got in. I appreciate you saying that, because that was the advice that got me here. So,
for sure. No worries. Yeah, so great to hear that teams are forming because of the love of Cosmos. That's just sweet music in our ears, of course, here at the Cosmos Club. But let's dive in. Let's talk about what you guys are building. So obviously the catchphrase is a hybrid AMM DEX featuring native USDC. Native USDC is a hot topic, of course, with Noble putting native USDC on Cosmos. Talk to us about that. What does that mean, a hybrid AMM DEX featuring native USDC?
That's a great question. And we do appreciate, you know, I know we probably saw 50 or 75 questions coming from the community. So we're very thankful that it's a very active community that sent us in so many questions. And I know since we probably won't have time to get through all of the questions today, since we'll run very long if we do, we're going to do our best to try to answer each and every one and try to get them out in some sort of written format. So probably we'll get those questions put on our and answers put on our documentation website or Discord. So please join our Discord and we can and look for those answers there if we don't get a chance to talk about them today. So we just want to make sure we get everybody's questions. But the hybrid DEX model is actually a very, very exciting feature of Ellis Network. So it's a differentiator for us. It's taking the existing fixed weight AMM, so the automated market maker feature, if you will. So if you're used to interacting with a current decentralized exchange, whether it was Uniswap or whether it was Osmosis, you're familiar with the fixed weight automated market maker, fixed weight AMM. And that one is, it's evolving, but it's generally a very good system. But we've added on top of that what we call a dynamic weighted. So we're calling it an Oracle-based dynamic weighted pools as well. So we have the ability to maintain the existing fixed weight AMM model, but we also have the Oracle-based dynamic weight model, which functions as a bridge. You know, Oracle's basically functions as a bridge to access pricing data from off-chain sources in order to execute advanced computations on-chain. The reason that's so important is that a DEX that does not Oracle pricing could have spikes, if you will, in pricing or unusual pricing that maybe doesn't match the market temporarily as arbitrage traders come in and out to balance that out. But with Oracle pricing, you're going to get real-time pricing information that matches market data. So that's really important for a lot of the features that we have that we're going to be rolling out to include leverage LP and margin trading. So having both of those in play kind of gives our users who want to participate in liquidity pools the option to participate in one or the other. And it also allows us to roll out the rest of our features, such as margin trading, which will give the best pricing data for users.
I also kind of wanted to add a little bit about your first question regarding USDC. You know, we are extremely excited about having native USDC finally coming to Cosmos. I think it's really, really important to build liquidity and also build trust in the system, which Cosmos has kind of been lacking over the last year or so since the bear market hit. I wanted to kind of like mention a little bit about what Ellis is all about and why we ended up choosing native USDC as our base pair. Essentially, you know, our idea about building Ellis came about the idea was kind of like to make the UI and UX better for people, because a lot of the non-native crypto users are not very familiar with crypto lingos. And we saw that as being a big pain point. So when we were building the DEX architecture for Ellis, we kind of looked at all the different pain points which were there. And we kind of reverse engineered some of them to make sure that Ellis kind of like tackles most of those points. A big point which came about was which asset would we want to pool in our as a base asset. A lot of the different DeFi protocols have, or I would say the first generation DeFi protocols have normally used their own tokens to pair with various other tokens like Atom, Bitcoin, Ethereum, etc. Which for a new protocol, it's actually really tough for users to come in and trust. Because they have their favorite tokens, which could be Atom, Bitcoin, Ethereum, et cetera. And you're almost forcing a user to pair it with their own native token to come and be a part of the DEX or provide liquidity, which in general is a pretty bad user experience. We got that feedback from tons. We've been like experiencing that in DeFi perpetually. And that was the reason why we decided to go with an extremely neutral asset, which is USDC, across different ecosystems, which Ellis will ultimately connect with. And we feel that that is going to make people comfortable to come in and add liquidity, and at the same time be comfortable in trading against USDC. Thank you.
Is there a talk to us a little bit about the native USDC part? Because I think obviously most people in Cosmos following the news, unless they've been living under a rock in the Cosmos, they would know that Noble is on the cusp of bringing native USDC to Cosmos. But is that a prerequisite for Ellis to launch, or how is the partnership, or if there is a partnership with Noble, yeah, essentially?
That's a great question. And we have been partnering with Noble for the last, you know, multiple months now to make sure that, you know, they are launching before we do, because as I mentioned, native USDC is critical for Ellis to be successful because our base pair is native USDC. We did not want to have a bridge USDC because of obvious reasons, which kind of like relate to security, etc. And that's why it was important to have Noble launch the USDC before we got in. We've been kind of like collaborating with them. We have, as Haitian mentioned, we already are on testnet, and we have set up our testnet relayers with Noble. We've been testing kind of like different transactions and transfers, etc., between Ellis and Noble. So there's definitely a lot of collaboration. We're also in deep talks about essentially offering seamless on and off ramps on Ellis, and Noble USDC will be an intermediate to facilitate that. Essentially, a user can buy their favorite token, could be even Ethereum or Bitcoin, right with just one click of a button from the Ellis Network web app, where a user could essentially just use their credit card or their bank account, ship some US dollars, which gets converted into Noble USDC, which is IBC'd over to Ellis Network. And Ellis Network uses some sort of IBC middleware to swap that USDC into the final asset, which could be ETH or BTC or Atom. So we're pretty excited about that. It should offer seamless UX for new users, and especially Web2 users who first want to experience Bitcoin or Ethereum in their journey into the crypto space.
Beautiful. And I want to dwell a bit on that and the space that you operate on, basically, because there's two main parts, the way I see it at least. There's the on and off ramps, like you just mentioned, and there's the AMM DEX, which a lot of people in Cosmos, they are familiar with a bunch of different DEXs, I think, at this point. Osmosis is, of course, the biggest. But let's talk about on and off ramps, like you just talked about. Kato obviously comes to mind for many people when it comes to on-ramping and off-ramping with Cosmos assets. So talk to us about the space that you're in. How are you guys perhaps different from something like Kato Money or other on-ramps?
We're actually not a payment processor. So we're not going to be actually doing the actual on and off ramps. We are integrating and partnering with multiple different on and off ramps. And Kato Money is one of them, who's actually pretty big in Cosmos because they use Osmosis as one of their biggest liquidity pools to swap the final assets. So we are in talks with a couple of different partners, such as MoonPay, Transact, OnRamper, and these will be integrated into Ellis Network for seamless on and off ramps.
Beautiful. And you mentioned Osmosis also in relation to Kato. So same question, I guess, just with the focus on the DEX part, the AMM part. How are you guys distinguished from something like Osmosis? I think the main part, the way I see it at least, is that the focus on all pools is that the one of the pairs is always going to be USDC, but maybe there are other differentiators from something like Osmosis.
Yeah, you want to go for it?
Oh yeah, I was going to say that's actually a great question, because I think when people view, you know, us as a DEX, when they see us out there, you know, launching as a DEX, they think of us as like competition to Osmosis, right? Or somebody that's going to come in and try to take market share from Osmosis. But we don't view it that way, right? So we actually have a tremendous amount of respect for Osmosis. They're obviously the pioneer in the cryptos, in the Cosmos ecosystem, and without them we wouldn't be here, right? And they have navigated the challenges of the first iteration of DeFi as best as they can given the circumstances. So I want to make sure that, you know, that our viewers are aware, or our listeners are aware, that, you know, we view ourselves as a collaborator with Osmosis rather than a competitor. And a healthy market should function with multiple places where liquidity is held. That's for various reasons, right? But to have a very healthy and efficient free market, it's very important for it to function across multiple access points. If it was all, let's say, consolidated in a single point, you run additional risks of, you know, what could happen to the fees, what could happen to the liquidity, what could happen to pricing, et cetera. So it's really healthy for the entire ecosystem to have, let's say, in a very, very healthy Cosmos ecosystem, if you had, you know, $5, $10, $15 trillion, you know, locked into the ecosystem in the next 10, 15 years, you would want to have several dozen of these exchanges, right? You'd want to have a lot of different places. It's kind of, it's no different than really having, you know, a diversified banking system, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So just kind of want to point that out, and I'll hand the rest off to Dreamcatcher.
Yeah, so I completely agree with that. You know, we're not really in competition. I mean, we love the Osmosis guys. I mean, they've done a lot for the Cosmos ecosystem. They were the first guys to bring in liquidity into the system. And, you know, we really appreciate that and respect that. A lot of the Cosmos guys experienced DeFi for the first time because of Osmosis. Mm-hmm. They've dramatically been able to increase the user numbers, as well as, like, put Cosmos on the map for sure. So we really appreciate that. And again, as Hesham mentioned, we don't see ourselves as competition to them. And we feel that there's a partnership that can be built. And we want to, like, our end goals are pretty much the same. We want to bring in more liquidity. We want more users to come in. And we want seamless trading across different asset class and, across different ecosystems with various assets. We might take a different approach. But our end goal is the same. As far as, like, differences are concerned, you know, you mentioned one of them, that, you know, we are using native USDC as a base pool token. That's going to be one of our big differences. We're not, and again, it's just because of to have a seamless UX for users who come in and don't trust Alice as a token, because it's really a new token, and we want people to actually come in and build trust and confidence in the token before they start using it or start buying it or staking it. We do offer a one more important thing, sort of a differentiator here, is that we are, from the get-go, we're not trying to go with a very inflationary tokenomics, which a lot of the various Cosmos DeFi projects have suffered deeply over the last couple of years. It was really good during the bull run, where, you know, people were making like 200-400% APR, and the token price would just still stay up. And then everybody kind of, like, realized all at the same time that this is not a sustainable model, and every single token just went to zero. Which would happen when you're inflating your token 300-400% in a year. When liquidity drops, then the token price just gets annihilated. So we have chosen a different path. We want to be a sustainable ecosystem. Hence, we are using a sort of, like, a little bit of inflation initially to bootstrap liquidity on the DEX. But outside of that, our prime focus is to be a self-sustaining ecosystem based on non-inflationary real yield, which is coming from the different products that we're offering. That, again, is a differentiator for us from Osmosis. But again, you know, I'm not really trying to compare. Let me just talk about a little bit about Alice and the product set that we're offering. The way I think about Alice is basically a three-prong approach, and we have three pillars which makes the product set complete to make it a sustainable ecosystem. The first product, which is essentially a simple USDC deposit, we call it the USDC Earn program, where anyone, regular guys, Web2 guys, people who don't want necessarily to have any exposure to crypto or the volatility, or might not have the stomach to kind of, like, explore crypto and its volatility, can just come in and deposit USDC, and they can earn a yield on that. The question would be, how do you earn yield on that? So that's the second prong, or the second pillar of Alice, which is essentially leverage yield farming. We would allow more savvy users, crypto savvy users who are experienced in yield farming, to come in and borrow the USDC deposits and leverage and provide liquidity on the platform in order to get much higher passive yield. And the third prong of Ellis, which kind of like makes this whole ecosystem complete, is margin trading. Margin trading essentially does generate a fair bit of interest fees when margin traders put on long trades or short trades. And that interest fees, along with trading fees, will generate the revenues for the DEX. So these three pillars basically form the self-sustaining ecosystem that we are talking about. And everything that we built on Ellis is to basically support these three different pillars. When we talk about the arbitrage-free pricing model, when we talk about the Oracle-based dynamic weighted pools, when we talk about low slippage, and when we talk about like low fees, everything is catered around this to make the whole experience of trading and interacting with Ellis as seamless and smooth as possible. Thank you.
Perfect. And I think for anyone who hasn't, this is the first time they hear about Ellis, I'll point to the website also. This was a great breakdown with the three pillars. It's always easy to remember 3 points. I think everybody, when they have a clear pitch, is always three. I don't know why. The human brain is is accustomed to three, apparently. But the website that you guys have, Ellis.network, is super clean, super slick, explains the concept and what you guys are building very, very easily. So for anyone who wants to refer back to it, or if you're going too fast or whatever, they can always find information in there. I want to blend in some community questions early on just to get around some of them, because as you say in the beginning, there's a lot of community interest in this, which is always a great sign. But yeah, just to pick one that I think is pretty important here, and that is around the pools, because obviously without any liquidity pools, there won't be any DEX. Without any DEX, there won't be much activity, right? So let's start there. And let's talk about the so-called molecule pools that you guys are building with a, they have a function with a ETF style index pools. Perhaps you can explain what that means. ETFs, obviously another hot topic in crypto right now with a potential Bitcoin ETF coming through. So yeah, talk to us about the molecule pools that's going to make up your AMM.
You know, we're really excited about this particular feature because I think it does allow us to stand out. And like I had mentioned before, having Oracle pricing is an enabler, right? It's a prerequisite for having something like this. But to kind of put it in kind of just the simplest term, it's really just adding additional assets within a single pool. Because I think if you have ever participated in a pool before, if you ever looked at them on a traditional decentralized exchange, you'll see that it's usually just two in a pool, right? So it's usually going to be, for example, if you were on Osmosis and you were wanting to join the Atom pool, it would just be Osmo Atom. Those would be your two assets that go inside that pool. So we have decided that, based on the research that we've looked at with all the, you know, the issues that we were dealing with in prior, iterations of DeFi, and then we looked at kind of what's successful out there in the trading markets, in the securities markets, et cetera. We see that these ETFs are a great tool for users who are looking to diversify their risk. So, for example, if I want to own, a particular, stock in a certain industry, but I don't want to take single stock risk, I would participate in an ETF that maybe holds 5, 6, 7, who knows, maybe 20 of the same, or of different companies within the same industry. So we are taking that concept and we're bringing it to DeFi. So we're going to basically offer initially kind of starting with a larger cap, if you will, token. So Bitcoin and Ethereum, for example, would make an excellent large cap pool. We could have Bitcoin and Ethereum in one molecule with USDC. And then we could expand that out. So we could do that basically based on either community input or some of our capital management strategies that we'll have within our own, internally from our team. We could research the best options and come up with various risk tolerance levels. So we can have like large cap, we can have medium, small cap, and then we could have something more stable. So we could just have maybe a pool full of only stables. And these are all kind of just to give the design concepts, because we have not actually created these pools yet. You know, as in testnet, we'll have a few for users to interact with, but they'll have the dynamic weighted architecture to them. So there will be some variance in the percentages in terms of how much Bitcoin will be in the pool, how much Ethereum will be in the pool, for example, if we're using the Bitcoin, Ethereum, USD example. So what we really like about the strategy is we're just enhancing the offerings to our users to now allow more diversification, more risk strategies, if you will, to have a complete portfolio. So when you think about from the very, very end of the conservative side of the spectrum, the user who just wants that passive, we yield off of just USDC and doesn't want to take too much risk. And then you go all the way to the far end of that risk spectrum, which would be your leverage, which would be your margin trading and your leverage. The molecule pool falls somewhere in the middle, right? Because you're dipping your toe in with multiple assets, but you're not taking so much risk that you would get wiped out on a single asset. So we really, really love that in terms of the offerings for what a user would be looking for if they were constructing their portfolio.
Beautiful, beautiful. There's a lot going on here, but it's really well thought out. And again, I know I just said it, but go on the website, guys, if you haven't checked it out already. Join the waiting list, by the way, also. There's a waiting list that you can sign up on. But I'm just, when I'm scrolling through this website, I just love the way it was done. So kudos to whoever did that on your team, guys. Something that you mentioned is about the L1, the chain that you're building, and obviously the token. I can see a bunch of community interest around the token and the network as well. People just love new tokens, right? So perhaps talk to us a bit about the rollout of the network. When can we expect ELS Network to plug into the rest of the Cosmos ecosystem, being IBC enabled, I presume? And then on the back of that question, perhaps go beyond activating the network and talk to us a bit about the roadmap ahead from here.
So we've been moving deliberately and, you know, at a very healthy pace throughout the year. Like I said, we started development in March, and for us to be at the level that we're at right now, we're essentially just about ready. So I was actually talking with our lead engineer today, and there's really only about 1 to 2 modules left to kind of fine tune. And then we'll be ready on the back end side, we'll be ready. So really all that's left beyond that is completing our front end. So we're going to use a web app concept. So a user can either use a desktop or mobile to access the web app. It'll be mobile responsive. And like you mentioned, we're taking whitelist. We're collecting names for the whitelist or collecting addresses for the whitelist so that we can, once the web app is out, we'll have users test that in the testnet phase before we launch to obviously do some debugging and collect user feedback to see what features we would need to change or update to really enhance and get that premier user experience. So we're targeting late fall. We think we can get there. We can get to mainnet launch by late fall if all goes smoothly. And of course, that's going to be pending our security audit. So we're in talks with Certic, Halborn, Hacken, and Safer. Right now, it's going to be, they're not just interviewing us, so to speak, we're interviewing them. So we're trying to find the right fit for who will be the best auditor for us. Obviously, we're not excluding any others. So if there's any others that users would like us to contact, we would be more than happy to discuss with them as well. So typically, auditors take anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks, maybe longer depending on complexity, especially since we will have some Cosmos and functionality. So there's going to, that adds a little extra time. But end late fall is a pretty aggressive target. We think we're on track to make it. We have a very capable and talented back-end and front-end team that we're very proud of. We're a deliberately small team, but we're very, very proud of the work that they do. So we're excited to showcase the web app when it comes out. So we encourage everybody to get their name on that wait list, and you'll be the first to try it out.
let that be a recommendation to everyone who is listening or re-listening afterwards when we upload the space as a podcast episode. Awesome. So speaking of the network, speaking of the rollout, there's a community question about how to become a validator. Can anyone become a validator, essentially? And on the back of that question, I have a follow-up, which I always like to ask new chains coming online, and that is around deploying an app chain versus a consumer chain. ICS and the Cosmos Hub is finding its place in the world, perhaps, in the Cosmos, if you will. So yeah, talk to us about the pros and cons that you guys weighted between deploying an app chain versus a consumer chain. But let's start with the validators that you guys are attracting.
Sure, I'll take the validator question. I think Dreamcatcher will probably want to take the app chain question, so I'll defer that to him. But as far as becoming a validator with the LS network, we are accepting validators. We launched our testnet with about 70 or so validators, so we're pretty satisfied with the participation that we're getting right now. We've had several more validators come and ask if they can join, but we're really trying to keep our list focused to the most active, most, you know, I'd say the ones that are going to contribute to our testnet with various infrastructure needs, for example, running IBC relayers, community engagement, you know, designing maybe the DAO and designing some of the other things that are going to be necessary for us to launch with. So if you are interested in becoming a validator with LS Network, please join our Discord and contact me. I'm HHA on there. See me on there. My name is Hisham, of course, but look for me on there. Send me a DM and we'll get you hooked up. So we'll send you some LS tokens. So we are only requiring a minimum self-delegation of one LS. That's currently our parameter, our governance parameter for now. We can always adjust that. So if there's a need or if we decide as a community that we want to increase that self-stake, for example, this is kind of a great discussion point. It could really make its own spaces. Should a validator have a larger self-stake to show the community that they are more committed to the chain? So if that's something our community wants, we could have governance to raise the minimum self-stake. So we went with one just because that made the most sense in the testnet, but we can certainly change it. So that's kind of one of the things that we, again, love about Cosmos SDK. There's so many different governance parameters that we can adjust based on community need. And what's good for our network may be a different thing than what's good for the next network, right? So we really like these features. So again, if you're interested in validating, please join our Discord and reach out to me.
Perfect. And the question on the app chain versus consumer chain, I think it was Dreamcatcher that was pointed to there. Yeah,
that's actually a great question. And can you guys hear me? Sorry.
Yes, loud and clear.
Great. That's actually a great question. And, you know, when you're kind of like envisioning LS, and, you know, when we started kind of like designing the architecture as well as kind of like deciding how we want to create our application, we had quite a bit of debate. You know, between the idea of being a consumer chain or an application chain. And we weighted, you know, the pros and cons of both, you know. And I think we love the Cosmos Hub, and, you know, we're constantly, you know, trying to partner with them. I think, you know, eventually in the long run, they're going to be great partners. They are the most liquid chain out there. They are the OGs in Cosmos. I love talking to all the devs who are working on that. So yeah, we love them. We want to partner with them. Our only concern with ICS, and this is when we are designing DEX, which is about 9 months, nine, 10 months back, is that, you know, ICS was not even a thing back then, and it was relatively new. It had not launched. We wanted to see how it basically performs before rushing into it. You know, we basically want to be a part of hopefully a version 2 of ICS. And, you know, we see the future of both replicated security and mesh security, where chains would basically secure each other. You know, we're basically very excited about the future of Cosmos ecosystem as well as the overall blockchain space. And we do think that we want to participate in some sort of replicated or mesh security. That would probably happen once we get to MVP and
you know, once we launch the chain and we look at how the traction is. And hopefully by then we see a second version of ICS or replicated security, as they call it. And then that would be probably a good place for us to integrate and coordinate with the Cosmos Hub as far as security is concerned.
It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out, right? It's all nascent technology, which is getting built out and tested in production, if you will. But yeah, I mean, there's also the flexibility to deploy as a consumer chain with replicated security down the line, right? We've seen that with Stride and was it Composable? Yeah, Composable is doing that also. So again, the flexibility in Cosmos is unparalleled, if you ask me. Another community question that I think is almost silly sometimes, but I know there's going to be a lot of degens and moon boys out there who's going to chop us up here at the Cosmos Club if we don't ask a question. And that is, of course, is there an airdrop plan for the LS token? You guys are deploying a new chain. You're introducing a new token. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of people out there who's going to be very curious if you guys plan to do an airdrop. If you can't say, just mention that to me now, but I have to ask you guys.
Airdrop, it's an interesting topic, and we have not finalized it yet. I'll say that just because, you know, we are still kind of like defining our tokenomics. We started talking to investors to raise funds, and airdrop is definitely one of the allocations which is being considered, but it's not entirely clear if we will go that route. There have been pros and cons for airdrops, and especially in a bear market, it's been tough, but we're still waiting on them. And we will decide closer to the launch, probably like a month or so before, when we announce our tokenomics, we will announce if there will be an airdrop or not.
Makes sense. I mean, there's pros and cons to an airdrop. I've certainly seen my fair share of projects that have done well with an airdrop, getting distribution, a lot of people excited about the network, but definitely also the other side of the coin, people who've done it poorly and it just backfired like crazy. So
I mean, we've done a fair bit of research on that as well, and you know, statistically speaking, airdrops are pretty good in a bull market. Brings in a lot of users, brings in a lot of exposure, guys from different ecosystems, guys from different chains come in for airdrops, and then that kind of like basically brings in more demand for the token, and is as well as more demand for usage of the platform. In a bear market, statistically speaking, it's exactly opposite, because a lot of people are underwater on their main portfolio, and they're just airdrop hunting to see how they can make whole wherever they can get some sort of like freebies from, right? Which actually could be negatively impact a new project. So we're taking all these things into consideration, and it would also depend on when we launch and how the macro environment is around when we launch. If new capital is coming into the space and you see that it's a better environment to launch the chain along with an airdrop, we'd probably go with that. And if it's not, then we'll have to take a decision at that point of time. So there are definitely a lot of different things. And as you said, they're both pros and cons, and we have to weigh them before we make a final decision.
Yeah, but I think it's a very good point, which is perhaps even a deciding factor, whether to do an airdrop or not, or how big if you decided already to do an airdrop, because bear and bull market, it really changes the landscape tremendously. And I think you're spot on. Like, people are underwater oftentimes in the bear market. So whenever there's an airdrop, they will just sell it immediately. You won't see the adoption that you hope, at least, coming from an airdrop. So yeah, I think that's a very, very good point, and something that people should actually pay attention to if there's anyone out there who's considering doing an airdrop and deploying the new chain. Let me switch the attention a bit to the rest of the ecosystem, because obviously you guys met around your passion for Cosmos. We just love that. So what can we do as a community? Cosmos is expanding. We want to make sure that the projects building in Cosmos, they are successful and continue to grow. So what can we do as a community to make sure that you guys have all the success that you guys deserve?
That's a great question, and we appreciate that. Really, the best thing that we can ask for is engagement. If we can have more users come and take a look at the product as we're building it and give us their feedback, that is the best thing they can do for us. I will say that, you know, one of the things that I'm particularly proud of with Ellis Network is that you never have to own any Ellis to use the DEX. And I think that's such an important thing when we talk about trust, credibility, transparency in a project. We're never going to ask users to buy the token, right? And that's really, really important to me. It's one of the reasons why, you know, I agreed to become a co-founder of Ellis. Is I didn't want to just push a token on somebody. I didn't want to basically, you know, try to get the price up and then we run off with the money, right? I don't want to do any of that stuff. What I really want is a DEX that people want to come and use and interact with and be excited when they use it and be happy that there's something that finally suits their needs in DeFi. So the best way for us to do that is to get real honest feedback. I like this. I don't like that. You should change this, make this a different color, et cetera, right? So the more, you know, if we can have 5,000 people show up and give us that feedback, that's great. If it's 25,000, even better, right? So we need large sample sizes that can really get us to that premier product. So again, we ask people to come check out our website, ellis.network. There'll be links there to obviously you see our Twitter here, but you can join our Discord and then come join us and basically give your feedback. Sign up for that wait list for the web app and we'd love to hear from you.
Right on, man. Right on. The last question I like to ask people in general, because we tend to think a bit short term in crypto. I'm not suggesting that you guys do this, but it's very like, you know, what are we going to deliver the next month, the next quarter, the next half a year? But never like, what is the end game, if there is an end game? What are we aspiring to build with, in your case, Ellis Network? So if you were to force yourself to think like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, you pick your number, basically, long-term, basically. And you sit there, you know, 10 years from now, and you look back at what Ellis Network has become. How does Ellis Network look like then, if you were executing perfectly what you set out to build today? So yeah, long-term, what is the goal, the big dream for Ellis Network to look like long-term?
I'd like to take this one. So here's the thing. If this is kind of, it's going to add a little bit of context to the airdrop question too, because it still is in play, but it's just not finalized. And the reason why is because the best thing that we feel that we could build for the community is something that they can use every day that's not going to take advantage of them and it's going to be as transparent as possible. Something that is okay for daily use and a healthy alternative to traditional finance. So, because right now, like Web3 finance hasn't really seen, nor has it really even deserved the adoption by the Web2 masses. So in order to gain that adoption is gaining trust. And trust is gained very slowly and it's lost very quickly. So with the current reputation and the landscape and you look at the macroeconomics, it's really hard to do that transition right now. So even if someone is frustrated with banks like I am, and I'm sure, you know, many of you are, and the, you know, the community is everywhere, you know, to transition to this as a viable form of handling day-to-day finances is difficult. So yeah, we're tackling this market now, but it's a very niche market. And, you know, for all of us that are so passionate about this, and we, you know, spend a lot of our days on it, or most of our days, and we're on here to be in a space that we cannot recommend to our friends and family, it's weird. It's disheartening because there's so much, you know, innovation and amazing technology. So how can we be so passionate and immersed in it every day, yet not feel good enough to recommend it to the people we love? And that's how we do our decision making. Are we making something that I'll recommend to my son or my brother or my friend? And if we're not, we're not going to do it. So we're designing this with the end user in mind. It's not, that's the business model, is the end user. What will they come back for? What's worth paying for to cross over? There's so many different unknowns when you cross over that we have to hit a lot of the trust factors up front. So when you talk about a Web2 user diving in and they're hitting, you know, barriers like confusing wallet setups, unfamiliar mnemonics, lack of interoperability, and kind of amounts to a poor user experience all around. And that's one of the things preventing. And the other one is the reputation, where, you know, not malicious, I don't want to get into the intentions of it, but some projects define success differently. Some define it as a high token value. Well, there needs to be a business model behind it that actually takes care of the people that are coming into the ecosystem and on the project. So a higher token value may somewhat be true when it comes to success, but that's just part of the equation. And it really needs to have a product and a service that the end user wants to use, and they're not going to be taken advantage of having insiders cash out just in time while the community is left holding like valueless bags. And we all know how that feels. So these types of problems exemplify Web3 finance projects preventing new users from entering and cannibalizing themselves along with their communities. So it overshadows the technology because the technology is only as good as the ambassadors. So I don't want to get into intentions, but what I can say is that if you have a solid business plan to bring in revenue, it's going to be short term no matter what. So we are focused on revenue. We're focused on diversifying, and we're focused on long term. And, you know, we've said from the beginning, this is a 5 and 10 year project that we're looking, you know, looking forward. You know, Hisham says this, OtterSync says this all the time. This is a 5 and 10 year plan. Yes. Is it going to spike right away? And we're not going to do the whole like pump thing and all the, we're just not going to do that stuff because we're going to try to represent the technology how we think that it needs to be. And it needs to be something that we would actually use every day, that we will use every day and recommend to the people we love. So, you know, as far as, and that goes to like for the Web2 users coming over, if they're getting rewarded at their bank, super low interest rates, but at least it's in the dollar and they know it's there, that's what they get with us. So that's a familiarity thing. So we're kind of like hitting that right there. The other thing is a lot of advantages with that. Like OtterSync says, we're not forcing them to buy our token. We're saying, instead of saying, trust us first and then see what we do, we're saying, see what we do. And then buy the token if you want to, if you trust us. So it's a whole different approach. It's not going to have the same, you know, it's not going to have the same like propulsion and same like momentum as probably most projects, but we're looking for that slow, steady growth. You know, we hope it grows fast, but we want it, no matter what, we want the value of our token to represent what's being built and what products we actually have. We don't want it to be built on an idea of what may be built in the future, if you know what I mean.
Well said, man. Well said. Guys, is there anything that we left out today? Is there any last things we should cover before we close this thing off?
Can we take some of the questions from the audience that have raised their hands?
Yeah, there's quite a few. So I'll just randomly pick one. I can see Leah, for example, who's been requesting for quite some time. So I will accept that. Who is here?
And just, if it's a lot of people, we'll try to give concise answers, and we'll follow up with you on Discord if they are going to require longer answers.
We'll cover as many as we can. But yeah, Leah, I just approve your request to speak. So you should see the mute icon, and then you can unmute yourself. I can see the mute icon. So Leah, if you unmute yourself, you will be able to ask your question. Maybe Leah has fallen asleep. I hope not. I hope it wasn't that boring, guys. If it was, sorry. But I didn't think it was boring. But let's move on to the next one. Let's see. Okay. Unmute. Oh, okay. Leah, you there?
Yeah.
All right. What's your question for Alice Network?
Can you tell us some about your team and some of their background?
Yes, so we did cover that in the beginning. I'm not sure if you were on the call initially, but we have a four members that co-founded LS Network. We have three back-end developers plus an intern, and then we have two front-end developers and a designer. So if you'd like, I can just give you a quick overview of just kind of our backgrounds again. Derivatives trading, capital markets, SpaceX, Flow Blockchain, myself as military, and then also the OtterSync validator, and then entrepreneur with the multiple business startups.
Oh, that's good. So how do I get the latest update?
So right now, the best way to do that is to follow us on Twitter and join our Discord. We release a weekly announcement on Discord, and we essentially replicate that on Twitter as well. So you should be able to get the real-time information there. And we're open to additional methods. If the audience here prefers, you know, that we do more of these regular spaces, we can certainly do more of those. We're happy to do them. Love to shoot for once a week if the audience would love that.
We'd love to host you guys. But let's have unmute also, who's been waiting for a long time or requesting to speak a long time. So I just approve your request. Unmute. It's a funny name, I think. Also. Oh, did unmute. Okay, here we go. If you unmute yourself, unmute, then you can speak and ask your question. Unless you have also fallen asleep on mute for a brief moment. If so, we move on to the next one who's also been requesting for a long time, and that's Orop or Arop. I'm not sure. But I just approve your request to speak. So you should be able to unmute yourself momentarily. This is, by the way, guys, this is why we normally source the questions beforehand. It's always a challenge inviting people to speak, honestly. it's not a smooth process.
Yeah, that's okay, guys. I mean, I think, you know, we've had a good 1 hour long conversation, and, you know, we can take up any of the community questions, maybe in Discord or Twitter, and we'd be more than happy to answer them. You know, we don't want to keep people waiting now. It's been a long space. And then hopefully, you know, we'll do more of these. And, you know, as we continue development and our journey towards MVP, I'm pretty sure you guys will have more questions, and hopefully we'll have a lot more things to showcase to you guys. So yeah, we're pretty excited about it.
Definitely. I don't know if you have the time to go through all the questions in this when we announce the space in the tweet. There's a lot of comments in there. But yeah, of course, feel free to jump in and answer some of the comments that we didn't cover during the space, because there's like 100 questions or something there.
we've definitely tried to cover some of them for sure.
Yeah. I think it's fair game if you can't cover them all. There's like 100 questions or something at this point. So, but guys, thank you so much for joining tonight. At least it's night my time. This has been awesome and great to see you guys building in Cosmos. I'm sure this is not the last time that we hear from you guys. We'll make sure to obviously tweet out whenever there's an update to keep the community updated. And then looking forward to invite you back to the club.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Take care. Ciao.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ants dragging out the max amount of payments, red down. Got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting honest. hours and then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of DNA stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. We'll be right back.